Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on today's edition of Abounding Grace. And if you've been with us the past few days, you know we've been working through this study of Abram and this grand call that God gives him in Genesis chapter 12 to leave his land, his country, and his family. These two elements that we contrasted with and compared with how Jesus gave calls to sinners. And what we looked at here is how difficult these calls were. In and of himself, he could not do it. The real issue that shines forth in Genesis is that, and the real determination here, is that it all hinged upon God's desire to bless Abram and to make this one man a blessing to all nations in the worst of circumstances, in the darkest of circumstances, when Abram could do nothing to change his state, when Abram could not fix his problem. He was a hopeless idolater. And that flies in the face, of course, of what we're hearing in the American religion today that I've outlined for you in this week. This brand of American religion that comes after a major economic boom and success and everyone's done well and made a lot of money, we've constructed a religion that correlates with that. And you see that in one of the best-selling books, not only in the Christian bookstore, but in the secular, which tells us that it's all about sort of positive thinking. So, for instance, here's the seven steps in that book of the pastor of the largest church in America. Number one, keep pressing forward. Number two, be positive toward yourself. Number three, develop better relationships. Number four, form better habits. Number five, embrace the place where you are. Number six, develop your inner life. Number seven, stay passionate about life. That's how you get blessed, he says. Over against all of that is what the Bible really pictures. Hopeless sinners, stuck in sin, lost and idolatrous, always creating a religion where they can continue in their idolatry and not be pressed about their commitments to their sin, their lifestyles, their love for families, everything else before the Lord, and yet still have the religion. That's what's gone on in America today. And the interesting thing here is that let's just apply these seven principles to Abram. What if we said to Abram, just keep pressing forward? What if we said, be positive toward yourself? He would be very happy and content in his idolatry. Develop better relationships. Continue with dad, right, Abram? Even though the Lord said, leave your family. Form better habits. What does that mean? Embrace the place where you are. Does that mean stay in Ur? Develop the inner life. No, we need life that comes from outside of us in Christ. See, here comes Yahweh in Genesis chapter 12, giving seven blessings, and they're a little bit different. Seven blessings because sinners have corrupted themselves. And you see, that is what grace is. Grace comes because it recognizes the sinner's not just failing to think positively, he's dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord says in Genesis 12, 2 to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Notice the repetition here. I will, I will, I will, I will. Not at all with a view towards Abram's goodness. What was the nature of these blessings? Here's what I want you to notice. Here's the real thing to notice, my friends. Unlike what we're hearing today, these blessings were aimed at the future, things to which Abram did not fully receive in this life. And that is set in stark contrast to what we often hear in what we're often in search for in the American dream and the American religion. Everything today in present day Christianity is about the here and the now. Miracles, healings, wealth, money, happiness, success, prosperity, and then capstone with a book, Have Your Best Life Now, Be Your Best You. But what is the real picture in the Bible? What is the real message? Yes, God comes to bless, and his blessings are wonderful. I will show you a land, but here's the real picture. In verse 7, he says, to your seed I will give this land. But here was this beautiful land before him in Ur of the Chaldeans. God says, leave that, Abram, and I'm going to show you one. This was to be the land of Canaan, of course, but in verse 6, we read the Canaanites were living in the land. What a problem. How in the world was that to be? How could millions of inhabitants simply be cleared for Abram to have this land? And then he adds to it, I will make you a great nation. Do we understand that's totally impossible in light of his circumstance? Sarah is barren. She can't have a child. How could he be made a great nation with a wife that has no ability to have children? I will bless you, says the Lord, and make your name great. But how, Lord? He was taking Abram away from the one place where his name was known. How would he be a blessing? And would the God of heaven and earth really set this kind of love upon this idolater to the point that whoever blesses him, God will bless, and whoever curses him, God will curse? How in the world from this one man can all the nations of the earth become blessed? Do you see how nearly impossible such things sound? They are beyond reason, they are beyond evidence, and they are beyond possibility, humanly speaking. And then we must compound the real difficulty of these blessings with the fact that these promises and blessings were not received in this life by Abram. Now, isn't that something? I mean, in Acts 7, Stephen says this very pointedly. Acts 7, verse 4, then he came out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him from this land in which you now dwell to this land. And God gave him no inheritance in it. That's the key. God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. So here are the promises. Here are these grand blessings. He enters the land, no home there. He never saw in this life his descendants multiplied as the sand of the seashore. He did not receive these things in this life. God called him out to go on a long pilgrimage through this life to receive these blessings by faith. And think of God's promises to us today. Think of them. The resurrection to come. The promise of eternal life. The assurance that all of our sins are forgiven so that when we die, we will see the smiling face of God. The promise of a home that is not of this world. And so he says, follow me. Leave everything in this life of security that we create and follow me. Do not put your trust in anything else. And then we go out, and so we follow, and what do we find? Life is hard. There are constant trials and temptations, and we are often in despair, and we are often seeing sickness and death, and all of these great promises don't seem to belong to this life, and we're very confused. And in America, we have this great pressure put on us. Though we are often trying to desperately have our best life now, Joel Osteen, we are often finding that these grand blessings that God has promised don't seem to correspond with the life in the here and now. That's what Abram learned, of course. Like Abram found, he didn't receive these blessings in this life. He had to go through this life in a tent, in constant opposition, and in much turmoil. And we go out. And as we go, if we are truly honest with ourselves, Satan's lies are often much easier to believe. He says, you can do this yourself. Why would a loving God who has made those kinds of promises really put you through this that you're going through? And at the end of the day, we're constantly being pressed to turn our eyes away from the hope that is what? Set beside us? No, the hope that is before us. Looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And what is that hope? What did Abram believe, my friends? He believed Christ. The promise to Abraham and his seed was Christ. The promise of the land was the promise of the heavenly land, whose city, whose builder and maker was God in Christ. That's what Hebrews says. He didn't look for that land. Christians today who are caught up in that land have missed the whole point. He was willing to count the cost because he looked for the heavenly land, Hebrews says. He was willing to pitch his tent. You'll notice that in Genesis 12. Pitch his tent in that land because he was patiently waiting for another land. His name would become great in the one who would come from his line, who would have the name above every name. And he rejoiced to see the day of Christ, and he saw it by faith, looking ahead, and he was glad. And Jesus said that in John 8. Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw that day by faith. And he lived that. He believed that in his seed, in Christ's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Because the seed was Christ, Galatians 3 tells us. It was Jesus Christ who fulfills these promises. All these promises were in Jesus, and Abraham had to wait patiently. Jesus would make all of these things so, and the blessings of them would ultimately be realized in the new heavens and the new earth. Abraham believed the gospel promises, the same things that you and I believe. You see, then what is true of Abraham must be true of us. We don't get our best life now. These are lies from the devil, my friends. That means that we too are heirs of the promises. But until that great day, when we receive these things, our land and our new name, and we are able to see Christ face to face, can you imagine that day? We are pilgrims. We should not seek to have our best life now. We should not seek to store up our riches and treasures here. And that's why Jesus said that. Don't do that. Store them in heaven. All that is in future in the new heavens and a new earth. And until that day, we press forward in warfare as pilgrims, leaving our mark of faith wherever we go, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus is our hope. He is the one who gives these things richly. And we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth in that day when we will receive these things. So press forward, my Christians, trusting only in Christ through his grace by faith alone.
Studying God's word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's word together, that we might grow in his grace and his amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.